Welcome to Abide Radio, a podcast presented by the Abide Christian Meditation app.
I had a great mentor that helped me understand life, which was my grandfather.
A podcast that brings you thought leaders making an impact in the world.
Be strong, be courageous, and do what you have never done before.
And stories of God's grace and redemption.
Sometimes we have conversations that's one-sided, but we don't take time to pause and listen to what he has. And so we say the prayers and we move on.
And now your host, Bonnie Curry.
Today on Abide Radio, we're going to have a very difficult conversation about depression and suicide. And the reason is simple. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S., and it's the second leading cause of death for people ages 10 through 34. So we should be having a conversation. And my guest is here to help us navigate these waters. This is Daniel Kennedy. He's the director of Living Through It, a new documentary that centers on the 240-foot-high suicide magnet, which has attracted more than 400 jumpers since it opened in 1969. Welcome, Daniel. I'm so glad you're here on Abide Radio.
Well, I really appreciate this opportunity to speak about what's really not spoken about much in society. It's like a taboo subject. We don't want to talk about suicide. We surely don't want to think that a loved one is contemplating suicide. And if you have those thoughts yourself, it's just not a popular subject to bring up. And if you do try to talk about it, so many times people don't know what to say that they'll just kind of, give you the, oh, you'll be all right. And then the needed conversation doesn't really happen.
So for you, Daniel, why this subject, though? Why did you feel the need to make a documentary not just about this bridge in San Diego, the Coronado Bridge, but to dive so deeply into a subject which you yourself have just said is taboo? It's something that we don't talk about.
My deepest conviction is that God never intended for any of us to die. In fact, when God created us, there was no death sequence or program in our DNA. We would have been sustained forever had sin not entered into the world. And so the essence of God's heart for his creation is that we live and that we thrive. And so I really have a passion to promote life in every part of society. And so I do a lot of documentaries in the area of health. So emotional health, physical health, spiritual health. But this story called out from the community. It was just waiting for somebody to make it. And I discovered that because as I started to do the film, all of the doors opened up and it kind of made itself. And so I realized, okay, I just need to be obedient and go forward. And, you well said, this is a documentary, a short documentary about suicide, suicide prevention, suicide awareness, and also comforting those who have lost someone. It's really not about the bridge. You would think that it's about the bridge, right? Because it's in, half of the shots, you see the bridge. But really, we're talking about the overall need to connect to people when they are having these types of thoughts.
Would you share a little bit about the film and kind of walk people through what it's about?
I sure would. And one thing I like to always offer multiple times throughout a conversation like we're having today is the National Prevention Lifeline. The number is 1-800-273-8255. And if you're having any types of feeling like today, you may not make it through the day, call that number, 1-800-273-8255. There are amazing people there 24 hours a day that you can speak to. But the documentary is called Living Through It. And the inspiration for the title was that the two people that I interview actually survived the fall off of the bridge. Mm. One of the people didn't make the choice to jump. She was 3 years old, and her mother took her over the side of the bridge in her arms because her mother believed that there was no hope for her, no future, and no one was going to take care of her child. And so the three-year-old survived. Her name is Bertha Loaiza, And now she's married and a mother of two wonderful children. And she works for an organization called Survivors of Suicide Loss. And she does support groups for those who have lost somebody to suicide, as she is. The other person is named Steve Bouchard. And when he was younger, he also felt no hope. He felt no hope in his marriage and his work and his future. And he said it was like light switch just flicked. And he said as soon as his hands left the edge of the railing and he was on his way down, he realized he wanted to live.
Right.
And he did everything he could to curl up in a ball to see if he could survive the impact. And he did. So these are very, very compelling stories. And I'll tell you, as the filmmaker, there were a couple of times where I got the chills and a couple of times where tears, you know, went down my cheeks, because we tend to just think of people as, or we hear about these things and it's just a statistic. But just when you actually speak to people and you feel their heart, it kind of makes you step out of that numbness, right? Because we almost use like numbness to protect ourselves because we're bombarded with bad news every day. But if we're so numb, it could be a loved one or a friend that's having these thoughts, and we're so tuned out that we could miss that they're almost broadcasting in very subtle ways that they want to suicide.
Right. And I think so oftentimes, I know myself, I was headed home one afternoon after work, and there was a guy that I worked with. Nice guy, fun guy, always seemed like, you know, he was doing fine, like just always had a joke for everybody. And I'm headed out the door, and you know how you have that, I'm leaving now kind of look. I had my purse, I had my, you know, my briefcase. So I was like, I'm going home to my family. And I walked by him and I said, hey, buddy, have a good night. Hope you've got some good plans for the weekend. And I'm moving forward, not in the intent of really interacting with this person, but I'm just doing that conversational politeness that you do. And I heard him say, thanks. I don't know that I'm going to keep going anymore. I'm kind of thinking about ending it. And I had this moment where my heart just stopped. And in my brain, I had this moment of, do I really want to engage with this? This is a lot. I want to get home to my kids. And I think that's that moment where the Holy Spirit just says, this now. And I turned around.
Yes.
I put my things down and I went back to him. And I sat there with him for more than an hour. And we had a rough conversation. And I had no idea how much he was hurting. I had no idea that he had ended a marriage. He had been on his own for more than a year and truly didn't see a reason to keep going. And from the very outward appearance of him, everything seemed okay. But he shared just enough that taking it seriously, stopping what I was doing, having that conversation with him, and then more importantly, putting him in touch with people that could help him. And it's interesting that we keep giving the suicide hotline number, because that's exactly what I found. I went back inside, found the number, and I said, let's call them together. Let's call them together. Oh, you don't have to do this. I know I don't have to, but I want to. I want to. And he got some help. That moment, I got to be frank with you, I did not want to have that conversation with this man. I didn't know him very well. But in that moment, he shared something so visceral, something so deep and painful, that I think as believers, we want so much to just put a little Band-Aid on this moment, because it's painful and it's awful. And you don't want to have the idea in your head or your heart that somebody is hurting so badly that they want to take the life of something so precious, not just to God, but to themselves as well. When we come back, we're going to have a conversation about where somebody is when they have these thoughts. Thanks for being with Abide Radio.
You're listening to Abide Radio. This is Abide Radio, presented by the Abide Christian Meditation app. Once again, your host, Bonnie Curry.
Welcome back to Abide Radio. I'm Bonnie Curry with my guest today, an amazing filmmaker, Daniel Kennedy, also somebody who is very passionate about people's health and well-being. He is the director of Living Through It, a new documentary that centers on suicide, a very difficult conversation. And Daniel, I know that you felt drawn to tell this story in a way that made it both real but hopeful for people. And Daniel, I know that you yourself had moments in your life where you thought about suicide. And I think so often it's difficult to get into the mindset of where somebody is when they're thinking about suicide. So could you walk us through what was happening in your life when you were 19?
It really goes back to when I was 11 years old. My mother, unfortunately, died in a plane crash out of LAX, out of Los Angeles. So at 11 years old, I lost, you know, the most significant woman and parent in my life. My sister was 2 years older than me, so we went through that together. And my dad had his own grief, losing his wife. And they were young. My mom was only 36 years old. So it's like they were a young couple with you know, kids. And so he was trying to cope. And part of his coping mechanism was to get a partner. So he got married a year after my mom died. And my stepmother thought she could come in and help this family grieve. And she got immediately rejected by the two kids, myself and my, you know, the typical, you're not my mother kind of thing, but we're hurting. And so we're all hurting and nobody knows what to do and we're not getting help. And my dad, he accepted an assignment overseas to Okinawa, Japan. And so he moved me, but he left my 16-year-old sister. She's a genius. So she had skipped two grades. So she went to college at 16.
Wow.
And my dad left her in college in San Diego and moved us to Japan. That was only 2 years after my mother's death.
Wow.
So in a 2 year span of time, I lost my mom. I lost my dad's attention. I gained a stepmother, which is, you know, comes with a lot. And I lose my sister being a part of my daily life. And back when I was a kid, we couldn't even make a phone call because it was like $5 a minute to call from Japan.
Yeah, you're overseas.
And we didn't have computer. We didn't have text. Right. So it was a real separation from my only ally, my sister.
Wow.
And then we go to a new country and I go to school and I'm the one that's different. So I become the one who receives bullying and I don't have my church. I don't have my friends. You know, so I call it like a real Job story for an 11-year-old kid. Life as I knew it changed. And we moved back when I was 17 and I went to college. And when I came back after the first year, I thought I was moving back home. And what I got was a closed door. You're not welcome in this house anymore. So I really didn't feel like I had a place in the world.
Yeah.
I didn't have a future.
You must have felt so alone.
And I felt very alone, and I was starting to act out with very destructive behaviors, from drinking to drugging to self-abuse. And so, you know, I was really thinking, well, what if I just don't bandage myself up this time?
So there you are, Daniel, by yourself. You are harming yourself, and as your life is slowly ebbing away, what was going on inside your head?
I got this vision of my dad and my sister at my graveside. And I connected to the pain of when it was my dad, my sister, and myself at my mom's graveside. And I decided at that moment that I was not going to add to their grief and their pain, that no matter how much I was hurting inside, I wouldn't do that to them. So I think when a person... It wasn't that I was feeling like, oh, I found hope. Oh, Jesus Christ is in my soul. I can do all things through Christ.
Right.
It was just about, I don't want to hurt people I love. But any reason
is a
It is. And shortly thereafter, when I was in my early 20s, unfortunately, my sister lost her marriage. But what it meant was she moved in my apartment with me and my ally returned 10 years after I lost her. She's in my life again. And she starts to scold me and get after me. You have to clean this up. You've got, like, here, I was living in darkness to the point where I had aluminum foiled my windows.
My goodness.
So that no light could come in, because I did not want light. And my grandmother, who never stopped praying for me, she would go visit me, but she had to stop. And she said, "You need to come out maybe to meet me at a restaurant, because the presence of evil is so thick in that place."
Just surrounded by this miasma of oppression. And again, it's so difficult, I think, Daniel, for people to understand who are just going day to day that don't experience these feelings, to understand or even comprehend anything that was going on in your life right then. But it didn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in an instant. It takes time and it builds up, especially if somebody is dealing with depression and feels alone and abandoned. And for so many people that are fighting depression and doing what they can to keep putting one foot in front of the other, sometimes it just keeps adding up. And you're in this place where you need somebody like your sister did to not just intervene, but to help you take a different path in your life. I thank God for your grandmother for continuing to pray. God bless every prayer warrior. Let's give it up for the grandmas who continue to intercede for the people that they love. And I have no doubt that there was an angel truly moving your sister in a path toward you to help you find and get back into the light, Daniel, and to take some of this pain that you have experienced, because I know you've devoted most of your life, your career, to helping people with mental health issues, to take this step to provide real clarity to the word suicide, that, as we've talked about, is such a taboo word for so many of us. Because in this moment, Daniel, were you a believer when this was happening?
I was such a believer and so angry at God.
There you go.
That the self-harm was the only way I could figure out to try to hurt God. I was never thinking that God didn't exist. I was just really, you know, angry. And what my sister did was she talked to me. Mm. What my sister did was she made me feel that somebody, just one person in this world, cared. And that's what I needed. So you had shared, Bonnie, the day that you were hoping to get home, but there was somebody there that needed. You did two things for that person. You had a conversation and you cared. And, you know, the whole purpose of my documentary is to motivate people to have a life-saving conversation. And I don't know, Bonnie, had you been trained? Were you a psychologist?
No.
Because the people that really help are the ones who just stop long enough to say, you know what, I'll put down my daily demands. I care enough to listen to you.
One of the things that I think so many people are challenged with, and that is, what happens when someone in your life is contemplating suicide? And the other side of it, what happens when they do?
This is Abide Radio.
We hope that your spirit is being filled with peace as you listen to this Abide Radio podcast. I am honored to be talking today with Daniel Kennedy, filmmaker and director of the film, Living Through It. Here's a meditation from the Abide app that talks about being in emotional pain and how focusing on God can bring encouragement. Here is "Why Do I Hurt So Much?" written by Katie Blowers and narrated by my good friend, Lonane Laura.
Have you ever felt too heavy to keep going? You might be feeling that way now. You might wonder if your heart can take any more pain before it bursts. Or you might have reached the point past feeling, where everything is numb. In Psalm 38, King David is in a similar place. He cries out to the Lord, sharing honestly that he feels crushed and empty. He says, "For I am about to fall, and my pain is ever with me." If you are hurting, this may be the perfect time to talk to God about it and meditate on his promises. Now, sit back, relax, and take a deep cleansing breath. Quiet your mind and let go of the distractions. As you settle into a comfortable position, notice the muscles that feel tense or tight. Gently stretch and loosen them. In your face, your neck, your shoulders, your back, your legs. Take another deep breath, focusing on the presence of the Holy Spirit. If your mind starts to wander, gently notice where you have gotten distracted and direct your attention back to this time of meditation and communion with God. If it helps, close your eyes. In this psalm, David is not hesitant to tell God about his hurt. He shares everything that he is processing. David knows that God listens to him and that God cares about his struggles. God is not indifferent to your pain. He sees you. He cares for you. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, you died the death I deserve and paid the price for my sins, all so that I don't have to face life alone. But sometimes I still feel so alone in my suffering. Please, show me that you are right here with me, and help me to remember you when I feel overcome by pain. Thank you for being my source of peace and comfort, even on the worst days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sweet friend, God hears your prayers. God knows your heart. Whenever you are at your lowest, ask God to deliver you. And when you're at your highest, ask God to help you bring a healing word and the peace of Christ to someone else. God truly is a waymaker and a miracle worker. You can hear the rest of this meditation and thousands more like it on the Abide Christian Meditation app. Remember to follow us on YouTube and all the social media platforms by searching Abide is Prayer. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Abide Radio. This is Abide Radio, presented by the Abide Christian Meditation app. Once again, your host, Bonnie Curry.
Welcome back to Abide Radio. I'm Bonnie Curry with my guest, Daniel. He is the director of a new documentary that is broaching a very difficult subject. It's called Living Through It. It's about suicide. And we have had a very difficult conversation today, Daniel. It has not been one of the more fun conversations that we've had on the show, but it's so necessary right now because there are so many people that are hurting right now. Abide is such an amazing resource for so many people because it's prayers and meditations for people from all walks of life, from all places, things that are calming, things that are hopeful, but sometimes it's not enough. Daniel, in your experience as a healthcare counselor, I am sure you have been there with families whose loved ones have taken their life. What are the realities they face in the aftermath?
I am so fortunate to know a number of the board members of an organization called Survivors of Suicide Loss, because people who lose someone to suicide instantly become high risk for suicide. It's almost like my loved one took their life. I'm hurting so much about that. And if they did it, I'll do it. And so the very first thing that this organization does with people who have lost someone to suicide, they make sure that they get them connected to help and support, and they give support groups. It's a group of people that it's like a club nobody wants to join.
Right.
It's also a group of people that don't know that there's actually support for them. They try to grieve on their own, but it's so important to get support from people that have been through it themselves. And this group really, you know, is what inspired the name of the documentary, Living Through It, because you can't get over a loss, and you will never get over a loss. You learn to live through it. So that's living through it. And I even can, you know, think, well, Jesus Christ said, look, in this life, there are going to be troubles and afflictions, but I'll be there with you. So that, to me, my relationship with Christ has become very intimate and important to understand that having Christ in my life doesn't mean I don't face challenges or won't experience loss. It means that I don't walk the path alone. And I always say that, you know, at church, we slap people with Bible verses like the Band-Aids. You mentioned Band-Aids. To me, just giving a Bible verse to a person is like a Band-Aid. I don't need you. When I'm hurting, I don't need you to give me Bible verses. I need you to be Jesus to me in that moment. Jesus, you know, shared the grieving moment with Mary and Martha when their brother Lazarus died. Jesus didn't say to Mary and Martha, look, I'm the all-powerful God that will raise Lazarus from the dead, just stepping over their pain and their moment of grief. Jesus stopped in his tracks and Jesus wept. He took on their pain and their sorrows, fulfilling Isaiah 54, that he would carry our sorrows. That is what people need. If they're hurting, they need you to be Jesus to them. They need a living Bible verse. They need you to stop and engage in a conversation and care with the heart of Christ. The Bible verses will come later. They're really important. Earlier I said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Now I can say that because I got cared for, because people prayed for me, but they walked with me.
Right. There is a time and a place for Bible verses. And I know that I draw so much strength from the Bible. But so often when you see somebody that's hurting, you want to fix it. You want to fix it. And you want it to not hurt anymore. You want a quick fix. You want to say, oh, you know what? If you just pray enough, you're not going to have those thoughts. If you just really dig into your Bible, you're not going to have those thoughts. As believers, as human beings, we need to understand that mental health issues do not stem from a lack of time in the Bible, and there is no quick fix for it. And that's difficult to understand as believers because we truly want it to be fixed very quickly. And I think that's why churches struggle with this conversation about suicide. And there are people that struggle with thoughts of suicide for years and years and years. And they're in your church. They're sitting in those pews. They are raising their hands in praise and worship. And yet they are still having those thoughts. And Daniel, to be brave enough, like your sister was brave enough to step into that pain with you and to walk it with you. That was being Jesus for you. And that is what we have to do. So I think as we move forward together, and dear one, I want you to know something. If you are having thoughts of suicide, if you have thought that there is just no hope for you, if you have lost somebody to suicide and maybe you're doubting, were you enough for them? Maybe you are pointing fingers everywhere you can, hurting yourself inside. You are not alone. And there is help and hope and healing for you. Daniel, would you share the number to call again for the suicide hotline?
If you're having any feelings of sadness, overwhelming sadness, or feelings that you may not make it through the day, call 1-800-273-8255. Again, that's 1-800-273-8255. There are people there that are going to help you for sure. So, and, you know, I also would like to say, if there's a person who you see is showing sadness or even saying things like, you know, I don't even think there's a future for me, sit down and have that conversation and show care. And then if they're willing, call with them. Don't give them the number, but actually call the number 800-273-8255. With the person and stay on the line with them until you see that they're really engaged with the counselor who answers the call.
Thank you, Daniel, so much. Again, a difficult conversation, but one I am so grateful that we could share together. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Tough conversations can soften our hearts. What a pleasure it was to chat today with Daniel Kennedy. And I pray that this conversation blessed you as well. Did you know that as an Abide listener, you not only get to experience meditations, but you also get to be part of a community where you can share your heart and read others sharing theirs? Recently, an Abide listener named Chris reached out to us with these kind words. What a precious gift to be prayed for by a fellow believer. I am struggling with the loneliness of an unwanted divorce. Each day, I'm working on finding my identity in being God's child and resting in the truth that He has promised to never leave me or forsake me. Abide helps me navigate my nighttime fears of loneliness, and the sleep stories remind me that God loves me, is with me, cares about how I am feeling, and walks beside me in this struggle. Thank you, Abide, for being used by God to always bring my focus back to Him who is the one who can heal my broken heart. Those are powerful words and a powerful reminder that our kind words and prayers have an impact on fellow believers. Thank you, Chris, for reaching out. And we welcome you to join us and reach out as well. Our growing community, which we fondly call Abide Nation, experiences God's Word daily through meditations designed to start your day and sleep stories to help you find the rest you need. You can find Abide in the App Store and on Google Play. May you experience the love of Jesus today and always. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Abide Radio, a podcast presented by the Abide Christian Meditation App. You can find us on the App Store or Google Play and join thousands of app users from all across the globe. You can also follow us on your favorite social media site at Abide Is Prayer. To access the show notes and discover our fantastic bonus content, go to abide.co.